The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this first day of February 2021. And down on God's biggest sandbar with people waiting in God's waiting room is Steve Elkins. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, how's it going?
Are you keeping your house yellow?
No, I'm not. I am painting it. Elephant.
This guy has got, he finally got the house he wanted in Florida. As much as he loved the house in California, and I get that, and he had to give it up, and he had to get the hell out of California. Could you imagine the shape that you'd be in right now, Steve, even if your house was standing? What shape you'd be in?
I know. That's why I left. I saw the writing on the wall. That's why I left.
So he does a little way stop. Are we allowed to say the city that you were in before?
No. Central. Okay. I live in Central Florida.
Okay. Like, they can't find you if they really want to find
well,
you.
I know. Anyway. I got kooks out there, though, looking for
you. Don't we all? But
besides,
I don't care.
The feds. Besides
but
the
you
feds.
See, you call me mean. You tell me people are afraid of me. But see, they know if they come to my house uninvited with the intent of doing harm, they know exactly what they'd get.
That's true.
But at any rate,
that's a big sign in my front yard. I'm a strong believer in the castle law. Castle doctrine practiced here.
Even if it's sand, it's a sand castle on the biggest sandbar in the country. Okay. At any rate, you got this house, and you sent me a photo, and then I went to the realtor's listing, and then I was able to see more. And I thought, you know what? This is really nice. And the house was yellow. This is Florida. Now, I don't normally like yellow houses, but that, it really fit. And I thought, well, gosh, Steve's got good taste. And then he told me he's going to paint it elephant gray.
Yeah.
Now, you got to live in the place, and your neighbors have to look at it. It's a good thing I'm not your neighbor, because I'd be in your face every day about painting your house elephant gray.
It's going to be nice.
Gosh. I know it is. You've been doing a lot of work on the house and upgrading. And what do they call those things down in Florida? It's the outside the exterior wall, but it's still covered. What is that?
Oh, a Florida room. We had a Florida room put in.
A name that they had to come up with to cover something that was specific to Florida room. Okay, I got you.
You spend a lot of time out there in that Florida room. It's nice. You get to hang out there and just, it's nice.
Except in the summertime when it's 90-some degrees and humidity's 100%. No, not me. At any rate.
And you go back inside then.
Yeah. That's right. At any rate, you're taking a couple of weeks off to do some painting and some upgrading.
Yep.
And you sound like you're in a better position than you were last Monday.
Yeah, I am. And I even said something to my listening audience last night. Totally different Steve last night than the prior Sunday. A little more energetic, more calmed down. Still, you know, still uncertain. And we're all still uncertain what's going to happen in our future. And I reiterated what I said last Sunday, yesterday, and that caller's calling in to address Biden as you know, Biden or other other names, but never president. That's a fast way to get a drop call, because I'm serious about that. I am going to show this guy no respect. He's a thief. He's a fraud. So I've come up with one I'm using right now, and I like it. I think Paul Craig Roberts started it first, but they call Biden the occupant. The occupant in the White House. I like that. So I'm sticking with that one, too. The occupant.
The occupant. Okay. Well,
the occupant.
We are, Steve, I'm sitting here, and I've got myself mentally prepared for what I refer to as what they're calling President of the United States, the 46th President, which I know because I took the time to watch the proceedings uncovering all the vote fraud out there. And then it became an argument as to, well, what percentage do you flip an election or redo an election? You know, what percentage of vote fraud do you find that, you know, and then they kept incrementally breaking this down until they've talked it to death. And JoJo, as I refer to him, not the president of the United States, of course, JoJo and his supposed next tenure for the 4 years. Now, they're still trying to impeach Trump. They're doing this for a very specific political reason, because there's nothing to stop Donald Trump from coming back and running in what? The 2004 election. It's 2021 right now, so we're not talking that far. Blink an eye, you've aged three more years and somewhat, and then you're looking at 2024. They're trying to stop the guy from potentially running again. That's what this whole thing is about. To impeach a guy.
Well, you know, John, they're splitting hairs. They're splitting hairs here on acceptable, what's acceptable and what should be a redo for a vote. I mean, they're trying to find gray area from the very beginning of, first, there's no election fraud. And then there's some, but it's really not that much. And who decides that?
Yeah, yeah.
And this whole thing of, I talked about it last night. John, this whole procedure, what's going on now is illegal. Okay, there's nobody in office to remove. So I would suggest that the Senate say, we're not going to convene. There will be no trial because what you're doing is illegal. And if the Senate gets together on this thing, then they're just as complicit as the House of Representatives on this illegal action of a impeachment. It's ridiculous.
You know, what's really a scream is the rhinos that join the Democrats in calling for Trump's impeachment. They've got a problem here because the Republicans aren't going to vote him back in, and they're not the right kind of cannon fodder for the Democrats. So that's going to preclude them from jumping parties. So they're pretty much screwed in their political aspirations, and that's okay with me. It really is, because after all said and done here, what do they call the presidential occupancies of the White House when he builds a cabinet and he makes his picks and he gets his press secretary and he does all of this stuff? They call it the new president's administration. Why is it in an administration? Because he's the head of the administrative state. He's the president of this de facto bankrupted government. Now, that's a matter of congressional record, folks. Anybody wants to argue with me, I'll send you the congressional record you can read to your heart's content. We have a democracy now, according to these clowns. And again, that's the de jure, or the de facto, not the de jure government. Because the de jure would, Steve, look pretty much like a constitutional republic, of which we're not in. Now, they've spent a lot of years screwing this thing up. A lot of years. And there's going to be people, Steve, they're going to scream, well, I'm entitled. No, not really. As I read the Constitution, you're not entitled to a retirement plan by the government. You're not entitled to health care. You're not, in other words, you're not entitled. You're entitled to do one thing. Live a life according to the rules of the government. And, hey, c'est la vie, have a nice life. Build what you want. Have your children. Live your life. But that's not what's going on here. And Steve, like I said, I'm prepared. I'm prepared for what's coming, because any asshat bozo the clown move that these Democrats can make, or JoJo himself, or the impending new president of the United States, Camilla. And we'll have to, I'll have to think up a nice little name for her, but I'll stick with JoJo in the meantime. Now, Mike, I am actually in a remote location, deep in an underground bunker. Yeah.
That sounds like Art Bell. Art Bell used to say that.
Actually, you know who lifted that? A lot of people have done it, but you know who lifted it? Mark Levin.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how he starts out.
Remember Art Bell, coast to coast AM, broadcasting in a bunker far below the Earth.
Art Bell, when anybody ever mentioned Art Bell to me, he's like a bad acid trip, or at least you're screwed up on some kind of drugs. I hate to say that because it's just, you start getting into the UFOs and all this stuff with me, you've lost me, because I don't care. Maybe JoJo's an alien. I don't know.
Well, you know Art Bell. Art Bell, if you look at him, he actually has taken on, well, he did. He took on a kind of an alien presence. He was not a handsome man. He had alien features, John. Speaking about aliens, he may have been one, you know. I don't know. Hey, by the way, question for you real quick here, because you were talking about JoJo there, and he's talked about already messing around doing something with Social Security. And what do you think that would be the reaction right now if he said, you know, we're going to phase it out. It's gone. And everything you kind of put into is gone, or they'll send you a $2,000 stimulus check after they've taken all your money through the number of years of Social Security. What do you think would happen?
I don't know. I think they'd be calling for JoJo's head on a spike is what I think they would. But, you know, let me backtrack, because you brought up something interesting. I'm no fan of Social Security. The government is not designed, obviously, to run benefit programs. You know, I just find this to be incredible. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all of these entitlement programs comes out of an administrative state. And, Steve, you know, the people in government, they're so damn frugal. They're watching every penny. And I'm sure that they're doing the best that they can with these entitlement programs. But this is part of the $150 trillion burden of debt we're carrying. Now, let me ask you a question. In the medical field, do you think it's better for hospital people to run medical stuff or the government?
Hospital people, most definitely. Yeah. I can give you great examples of that. Yes.
Yeah.
The government screws up everything. They don't have the experience. They meddle. They end up costing the programs a lot more. I could give you tons of examples on that. But as my father used to say when I was a little boy, everything the government touches turns to you know what.
That's right.
He's absolutely correct. They're not accountable. They're expensive, and they're inefficient. And when it's all said and done, they'll have to scrap it. They never take accountability, and they'll start on to another program.
Well, you've heard the old saying, you know, the Midas touch. You know, everything that man touches turns to gold. Well, I would submit to you that the government has the fecal touch. And what do you think everything that they touch turns into? Yeah.
That's a good way of saying it. Yes, the fecal touch. I like
that's
that.
Very good. The fecal. JoJo's going to be running the fecal touch. This guy's coming
wearing gloves. Latex gloves. Fecal touch.
You know, Fauci came out and says, we need to wear more masks.
Yeah, let's drive up that CO2 a little higher. It's not high enough. You haven't passed out yet. Put another mask on.
Well, I'm watching what is actually playing in the background here, and this is so refreshing. Did I mention 2 laptops, 3 keyboards, 2 mouses, a headset? Oh, and 1 American News playing on the television set. Notice I said 1 American News and not Fox News. Now, I still have a little affinity for Tucker Carlson, because he's been trying his damnedest. And for me, a guy that's worth, I discovered the net worth of Mr. Sean Hannity. You want to take a guess at what this guy is worth, Steve?
He makes what, 30 to 40 million a year, right? Correct?
Yeah, roughly over 30 million. He's projected to be about a quarter of a billionaire. Yeah. So what's the point for him getting up there and stumping for conservatism? And, you know, it's the guy that missed the last train, and he's standing on the platform going, is anybody listening to me? Hello? Yeah. Nobody is, because he's still stuck in the stupid mode of government and accountability and all this other crap. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, excuse me, have you peeked out your windows of your home? Have you looked at the world going on? And you still want to argue with me on a bankrupted de facto government about conservatism? Excuse me?
At the D.C. rally, John, when Fox did not turn around their cameras to show the massive size crowd at the D.C. rally on January 6th, when they refused to turn their cameras around, that did considerable damage to their network and to Tucker and to Hannity. He was a fan for a little while of Fox. He thought they were doing a pretty decent job there, giving a fair shake.
Until,
but they, at the very end there, they really changed and they showed their loyalty to the left, and they would not turn those cameras around. I looked at that and their description saying thousands of people are here. I said, thousands? It's got to be more than that. And I said, the reason why they won't turn those cameras around, there's got to be more. When you say hundreds of thousands, 50,000, hundreds of thousands of people here, but you had, what, 1.5 million people there. And when they wouldn't turn those cameras around, that did it for me. I said, that's it. I'm done with these guys.
Well, Trump had an indication. You remember during the debates, Mr. Chris Wallace from Fox News, which isn't even his daddy, and his daddy was a gatekeeper himself, but also John Roberts. You know, they're alcoholic. He used to be an anchor. Now he's just out in the field, and he generally covers the White House. He wasn't any too kind to Mr. Trump either. So Trump had a bad taste in his mouth. You know, and he saw that, and he made comment about it, and as well as he should. You know what I find interesting about this? Now, generally speaking, and I don't care going back in the days of I Have a Dream, Martin Luther King, where all the people were ringing the reflecting pool, the Masonic reflecting pool, and there was the phallic symbol in the background from ancient Egypt. Oh, we call it the Washington Monument. You had pictures. You saw crowd size. Every demonstration, everything that always goes on, you always get estimates from the D.C. police or people in attendance. How many photos, aerial photos, or photos from on high did you see of? I didn't either. They spent a lot of time scrubbing everything they could possibly do off of the web. And to your point, there were thousands in attendance.
Oh, yeah. Thousands of attendance. Speaking of which, Bill Hemmer got demoted, too. You saw that, right, on Fox? He got demoted.
No, I didn't. What happened to him?
Yeah, he lost his spot. He had his own little show, Bill Hemmer News Afternoon, whatever. And he's gone. He's now the sidekick to Dana Perino.
Oh, God.
He's co-hosting. He got demoted. He lost his spot. He got too conservative. He asked too many questions. He wanted answers. And I saw that, a little conservative side of Bill Hemmer. And they didn't like that. So now he's been smacked, and he's now going to be co-hosting or with
the former press secretary for George Bush.
Yeah.
That this narcissistic little blue-eyed babe, I'll tell you what, she's not of this earth. I got to tell you something. She's anybody that can get up and do the job and run the cover for George Bush, and then you turn around and make them what? A host on a supposed conservative network? That's somebody I don't want to listen to. Uh-oh. Jeez. Why is it when I'm in studio, Mike, I can't hear the bump music, but now, God, I can hear it so plainly. It's that expert engineering from our board guy.
There you go.
We'll break. We'll be back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted, long-term, storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
We are back. Yeah, I noticed. Oops, we're back early. Yeah, there was another one-minute commercial that didn't air. I'm not sitting in front of my atomic clock on the wall, but yeah, I kind of had a sense. My clock in my head said something is off here. At any rate, after the bottom of the hour break, Steve, I want to play a clip from Ben Swan on what they're doing to a doctor up in Minnesota, but and folks, you know, just take all this in stride. You see the stuff coming, and it's JoJo's wet dream here to turn everything back that Donald Trump has done. We'll compile the laundry list one of these days, and we'll go through it as he's done his damage. But just as we expected, here's a bill, the bill to destroy gun ownership in this country. Now, you tell that to people, and yeah, they've had restrictions on it before. Well, this is just the opening salvo. This is a House bill, H.R. 127. And here we have it. They're going after everyone who has a gun or ammunition. They're deeply concerned about a revolution, and they want to know every person who has a gun or ammunition, tracking and tracing. The object of the bill would be identify every person who has a gun. They will be able to revoke a license and confiscate the gun under the rules to be created by the Attorney General. Biden swore he would end the NRA. Well, they went bankrupt because of all the suits, but they're relocating in Texas, and the NRA itself will be back in full swing. Now, he wasn't joking about any of this. Like a diverse license, once they create this federal license, they effectively limit the Second Amendment, claiming if you obey all the regulations, which they can change, by the way, at any time, then you have that right. But all such rights are eliminated whenever they say so. Now, whoever, and this is part of the bill, I can't go through the entire thing, obviously, but it shall be unlawful for any person to possess ammunition that's 50 caliber or greater. I guess that leaves out my howitzer parked in my garage. Whoever knowingly violates this section shall be fined not less than 50 grand or not more than 100,000 and imprisoned not less than 10 years, but no more than 20 or maybe even both. Whoever knowingly violates Section 922 DD 2 shall be fined not less than $10,000, not more than $25,000, and imprisoned not less than a year and not more than 5 years or both. Now, you know who his gun czar is, right? Steve?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke. Of one day, because this guy, like Bill Gates, can't talk. And you'd swear they're Italian, but they're not. They talk with their hands. And one day I said of Beto O'Rourke, which I'd just been calling him Beto O'Rourke, he does this hand thing, and it's really distracting, as if it's to distract you from the nonsense coming out of the guy's fanged face. You know, those whites, those pearly whites, that he thought it was important enough to let people know about his dental visits. Well, boy, thanks, Beto. But this is the guy coming in with the ammunition, so to speak, no pun intended, to start to dismantling our rights. Now, again, Steve, let's go back to the administrative state. The administrative state makes up policies, rules, regulations. They just go ape crap and going, oh, well, this is legal. Maybe not even legal, lawful, absolutely not. Part of the administrative duties for a de facto state, you betcha. And I made the mistake, and it turned out not to be so much of a mistake because I got a good laugh out of it. I said that Beto O'Rourke can't talk without gestating. And somebody corrected me a few days later and said, John, gestating is usually, you know, the sperm meets the egg and then it gestates and then it's born. I got a kick out of that one because the guy was absolutely right. There's Beto O'Rourke gestating again. Well, you know, at any rate, yeah, they're coming after the guns, just like, hey, JoJo promised. You know, he's keeping his promises, only to the democracy and to the lunatic mob out there, certainly not to the people that subscribe to, wait a minute, don't we have a constitutional republic kind of deal? No. They're coming for the guns. Do you think the NRA came to Texas, Steve? You think that was an accident?
No.
Yeah. And you, my wayward friend, went, missed Texas entirely, which it's hard to do. And then you kind of went down to the southeast down there.
Yeah. There's been a lot of purchases since the occupants taken the White House. A lot of people are buying firearms, but the ammo is not there. The supply of ammo is still way down right now. So, listeners, if you have a need for ammunition, make sure you get out there right now and you start looking for it and find it.
Yeah.
And buy ample supply.
You know, somebody just recently was looking for gun shows in and around Austin, and guess what we don't have anymore?
Gun shows.
Yeah.
We have tons of them down here, too. Yeah.
And you've got to travel a distance now to go find an active gun show. So, folks, yeah, but you could also... Let me see. You could also join. What's that organization out of Nevada that's taught over 1 million people about firearms? Oh, yeah. You can get all the ammunition you need from these guys, but you got to be a member. Front Sight. That's exactly right. And I'll be talking more about that this week, folks. And again, I don't talk about things that just for the sake of talking about it, not as a talking point. I do a lot of things on this program for a very good and specific reason. You may not know all of my reasoning for doing it, but I am not here to make pronouncements or announcements of eventualities and what we may have to deal with, because in this climate today, gee, Steve, I might be a terrorist. Well, hell, I already am. Doesn't matter. And to these people, If you don't subscribe to JoJo and the new communist regime, well, then you're a potential terrorist. And the FBI and Homeland Security will tell you so. We'll break. We'll be back. We'll pick it up on the other side with Ben Swan's presentation, and you'll hear what they're doing to the doctors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Weapons over the centuries have changed folks, but not the intent of the use of a weapon. At any rate, we're back. Steve Elkins riding shotgun down there in Florida. The Minnesota Medical Board has targeted a doctor, Dr. Bob Zajac. Now, don't be confused. It's not a relative to Pat Zajac that's been doing a game show for, 3,800 years. And is attempting, the state is rather, to restrict his medical license from practice entirely due to his support of families choosing their legal vaccine exemption option. Now, what's most surprising is the complaints against Dr. Bob have not come from patients, but people who simply disagree with statements about informed consent that Dr. Bob has made in the media. If you would, Mr. Producer, go ahead and run Ben Swan, his interview with Dr. Bob Zajac.
Let's go ahead and bring in Dr. Bob Zajac. Again, he's a doctor. doctor in Minnesota who has been dealing with the medical board there and their attempt to silence him, their attempt to shut down his ability to speak and also to practice medicine. And not because he's doing kooky, crazy things. In fact, Dr. Bob, let's bring you in, because my understanding is the medical board is essentially responding to attacks that have been made against you from people across the country that you've never met and you've never actually treated before, but simply because they dislike and disagree with what you personally believe. We've been seeing censorship across the board, across the country
for several years, especially
in the last few months and weeks. But tell us about
what is the deal with that? What is going on with the playback? Try another computer, because I'm not going to listen to this important presentation that Ben Swan did and have it. See, this is what happens to you down in Florida, Steve.
Yeah,
you banned with challenge it. You've been in that house how long? 2 years now?
No, just a little over a year.
Oh, okay. But you still, the internet people are still slow to respond. Well, they're as slow as your bandwidth is down there, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Any word on that while he's fixing our problem here?
No, actually, it's been actually better, but no, it's still not changed. And I don't know, the kids are going back to school. They're freeing up that bandwidth. I don't know. I haven't had as many problems lately.
Oh, speaking of which, that just reminded me, in Chicago, the mayor is ordering the teachers, I think 65% of them, back into the classrooms, and the teachers' union is going, no, we're not going to comply. In the meantime, more kids are getting just discombobled. Some are getting suicidal. I mean, it's getting nuts. Mike, did you find another computer? Who says we don't need more bandwidth, huh? Give me that 5G.
Yeah. 5G. 6G. 5G.
If I could pick it up on my iPhone, I'd play it from my iPhone, but that's a little janky. 2, 3, 1. Da, 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 da.
Hey, John, have you talked about, mentioned in 3 days, the 19 executive orders Biden did in the first 3 days?
that was part of the laundry list I said I was going to present later on in a week. But he's been dismantling every damn thing that Trump has done.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
You know, it's fascinating to me how and why, you know, kind of cool, stroke of a pen. I think I heard a president once say about issuing executive orders, that's their end round. See, this is how near normal this has become in people's lives. Oh, the president issued an executive order. Oh, okay. Now, when Trump did it, people didn't have a problem with it because we knew that what he was trying to do and undo. But when you think about a president issuing executive order as an end round against what? We got three branches of government. We got the executive, we got the legislature, and we got judicial. Now, those three branches are to remain forever separate, and one is supposed to be able to check the other. Well, check out your presumptions one more time, because these executive orders is an end run around the legislature, which are what? The lawmakers. So it doesn't even have to come close to a constitutional whiff. No. Now, we'll just do this executive order, and not one of these damned orders throughout all of these years, the Congress has the right to go, wait a minute, let's check that one. Within 60, 90 days, I think it's maximum, they can take that executive order and just toss it out. Yeah. Nobody has ever done it. So here, JoJo, as you said, 19 executive orders in a couple of days, and he's off and running, undoing what Trump did, by and large, by executive order. So that's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Is. Any luck there, Mikey? Hey, Steve, you want to have some fun?
Through break.
Yeah. Hey, you want to have some fun with him? He says it's going to take him another minute. Sure. Let's remain silent and see what kind of pressure that puts on him. See? I pushed him right over the edge. See what I did? He's ready for the rubber room. Yeah. Well, maybe Tom's listening.
Hey, while
to
we're
today.
In waiting mode here, or we're yeah. in waiting mode, John, I'll tell you, I have a first-person account of an adverse reaction with the COVID vaccine. One of the employees working with my wife had the vaccine, and actually several of them had the vaccine, and they all called in the next 2 days. I think one was 3 days. And the taking on the signs and symptoms of the COVID itself, like the flu, really bad flu, painful at the injection site, lymph nodes were enlarged, swollen under the arm on the site where she received this vaccine, and she had a temperature of 103.3, a pretty serious response there, immune response, 103.3.
Now, is that coincidental? Or do you think that by taking that flu virus, she was actually given the flu?
Yeah, she got the signs and symptoms of it. Speaking of which, last night I mentioned, this is funny, what's the odds of this? 535 members of Congress take the vaccine, and they run on TV and roll their sleeves up. Nice photo op. We're all getting our vaccine. We're just like you. We're all in this together. Do you realize there have been zero adverse reactions for the entire Congress who took the flu vaccine, this COVID vaccine? Zero reactions. What's the odds of that?
Non-existent.
Well, it's non-existent when you take it, when you take a normal saline shot, a salt water shot. That's exactly what these people took. Somebody should have had a reaction. Not one. 535 members of Congress, nobody had an adverse reaction. They did not take the vaccine. They looked like they took something. They did not take the vaccine. Somebody would have had a response, an adverse reaction. Of 535 people, you'd had something. You had nothing. They did not take it.
You know, Steve, another fraud. I've said this before. Over 50 years ago, I took a flu shot as part of a series of shots. They called it our overseas shots when I was in the military. And I wasn't going to the Middle East. I was going to Germany. But, no, you've got to get your shots. And they proudly announced that they were going to give us a flu shot. And what happened? The entire company came down with, guess what? A flu. And it wiped out the entire company for a couple of days. They tried to get the troops out of their racks on the second day, and they really weren't having any of it. And this was part of the Army's VOLAR program, Volunteer Army. So they would cut us a little bit more slack. So we had a bunch of bodies laying around for a couple of days. And, you know, I often thought about that. If they did not take the flu shot, that would not have happened. There might have been a few cases of isolated flu. Okay, sure. Yeah, sure. Go to bed, drink some fluids, here, take a couple of aspirin, exactly. You know, get out of my face. And then we could have continued with the daily routine. But no. We had to take that flu vaccine, and not just some, Steve, everybody got the flu.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that also, because I don't believe the military has taken this either. Or they're seriously covering up having given this to the military, because think about it. We're hearing about individuals having problems with this vaccine here. So if you want a strong military, and we know that the symptoms and the adverse reactions would also apply to the military, do you want a sick military or you want a fighting force military? I don't think they're going to give it to the military. This is way too experimental. They want to keep a fighting force, but they want to thin out the herd of people in this world, but they don't want to diminish their military size.
Well, and
I don't think the military is going to get it.
Yeah. Well, how many of those 5,000 National Guard that went to Washington, D.C., how many of those guys do you think got the shot? I would venture to say none of them? Because we weren't hearing of problems with health and so on and so forth. All we saw, got to see, was a bunch of guys standing around with automatic weapons and cowering in garages because they wanted them out of sight for whatever reason. And it was just a big show. You know, if you think Democrats are peace lovers, you better check your premise at the door. Because guess what? The troops who are coming out of Afghanistan, they're going to stay there. Last week it was announced that JoJo was putting troops back into Syria for what? To protect the oil. You mean the oil that they're not going to sell in dollars? You mean that oil? Yeah, so here we go with JoJo and the Democrats, and I'm waiting. You got to get past the gun grabbing and the Green Deal here and the raping of jobs and all that stuff to find out what his foreign policy is going to be toward the Middle East. This ought to be a whole lot of fun. All right, Mikey, whatever
ask
you got.
Yourself, what else is going to give Israel?
Yeah. All righty. I can hear Steve's thoughts from here. This better be damn well worth it. This is exactly what I was thinking. I've seen it already. Well, while he's doing that, oh boy. State need not comply. Stolen election. And DB Kid did this. And this is part three of her series. I think I posted part two last week. She said, but the past few days, my email box has been blasted about an unconstitutional bill introduced in the U.S. House. Democrats introduced bill to massively expand mail-in voting. I ran that story a few days ago. Democrat lawmakers on Thursday introduced a bill dubbed the Vote at Home Act, which seeks to massively expand vote at home ballot access, enacting automatic voter registration and providing voters with prepaid ballot envelopes. That's according to the story that we posted last Friday. And, of course, Senator Ron Wyden, he's in on this. Representative Earl Blumenauer, another Democrat out of Oregon, introduced the bill, saying in a press release that the legislation is meant to fight voter suppression. Yeah. And, of course, the next statement here stands of its own merit. Our democracy is stronger when every American can vote without standing in a ridiculous line or having to take time off work or school to exercise their constitutional rights. Most of the voters I've talked to, they like the day off work and commiserating with other voters to talk about issues. But at any rate, Republicans introduced a bill to help fortify federal election integrity. And lo and behold, this shows you the state of affairs on the Republican side of the aisle. To Save Democracy Act aims to close loopholes that, what? Save Democracy Act aims to close loopholes that prevent secure and fair general elections by strengthening voter registration verification. Jim Banks out of Indiana, chairman of the Republican Study Committee. See, I didn't know that existed, but I guess it does. The largest conservative caucus on Capitol Hill led his caucus to introduce the legislation. And again, folks, the Save Democracy Act? Seriously? Banks need to be reminded that our legal form of government is a republic, not a democracy. Democracy is mob rule, and Americans have damn well wake up and see how the mobs are destroying this republic. Banks and other quote-unquote conservatives in Congress need to be educated on the 10th Amendment. Back in 1993, many of us fought to defeat the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 because we knew it was a giant step towards advancing vote fraud. We hammered our state legislatures to say no, we're not going to be a part of this strong army. The act signed into quote-unquote law by the undisputed king of adultery, Bill Clinton, required state governments to make voter registration sampler for any eligible person who renews or gets a driver's license. And that is wrong. Since illegals buy driver's licenses on any street corner in major metropolitan cities, or as demonstrated by the vote fraud that went on, People that showed up to vote for JoJo didn't have a driver's license, voter registration card. They were here illegal. They were simply sent over to the motor vehicle thing that they issued them a driver's license toot sweet, faster than you and I can go in and get a license at one of these damn bureaus. Now, having said all that, many states have brazenly passed laws to give illegal aliens driver's license, all in violation of federal immigration laws. But since we've had no constitutionally grounded U.S. attorney generals for decades, those states continue to get away with it. Stupid state legislatures roll over with nary a whimper. Illegal voting are impacting congressional seats, which means electoral college votes. Now, this new bill in the House being pushed by Lucifer's Democrat Communist Party USA is another attempt to eliminate forever any fair elections in this country. As for Comrade Wyden's vomit about standing in lines, how about try voting early? Take time off of work. Employers usually give employees time to go vote, and many states have a couple of Saturdays to vote. People are inconvenienced? How about those who stuck their necks out to create a new nation, and for those made the ultimate sacrifice on the battlefield to give us the precious right to elect those who make the laws? Don't talk to me about inconveniences. No, this is all part of the plan, and the states do not have to comply. Congress has set for federal elections first Tuesday following the first Monday in November as Election Day. How states conduct those elections, that is, voter registration, signature verification, and so forth, is the sole jurisdiction of each state. Congress has no legislative authority to even butt in. Now, mail-in voting ballots are not absentee ballots, though too many Americans don't understand the difference. Absentee ballots must be requested, where mail-in ballots are mailed by states to anybody and everyone, regardless of citizenship status, or even if they no longer reside in the state, or they're even standing upright. Now, the reader saw one of the previous columns that the woman wrote, where I scanned the California ballot address to my brother here in Big Spring, Texas. Richard has not lived in California since August of 2019. Now, mail-in voting and ballot harvesting should never have been allowed by any state. But when you have state houses controlled by, guess what, very same people, it's in the cancer that's infecting the federal end of this, these houses are controlled by socialists and communists alike, like California, and an apathetic, disinterested, or partisan-driven population. And should we remind you, you reap what you sow? Now, we all saw the massive fraud in those contested states which allowed mail-in ballots. Lucifer's Democrat Communist Party USA mastered the art of vote fraud 60 years ago. The push that began last year by Democrats to allow mail-in ballots over COVID-19 was in anticipation of a Trump landslide, and they weren't having any of that. Last May here in Texas, our Texas Supreme Court said, nope, won't happen. COVID was not a justifiable excuse. Bottom line is states of the union do not have to comply with a bill or even one massaged by constitutionally ignorant Republicans who have a different version. It's called nullification. Our attorney general will most likely file a lawsuit soon as the ink is dry after the criminal imposter president Cheater China Joe signs into law, but he doesn't even have to do that. The bill clearly is outside the legislative authority of Congress. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Congress most can certainly set the date for federal elections, but how those elections are conducted by the states of the union is internal, and their businesses backed by the 10th Amendment. Now, Steve, You heard the Supreme Court. They said, look, we're not touching this issue. Now, the issue that was brought up was voter fraud, but they declined to hear it because they said that's not the purview of the Supreme Court of the United States because of the aforementioned, the reasons that I just mentioned, that this is state issue. Federal government has no business butting in, but we know now that the election that was run by the states was in direct violation of I don't even know how many voter laws. They just made them up willy-nilly as they went along. And here we sit with JoJo and Kamala waiting in the wings to assume the seat. And folks, short of, I don't know, alien invasion, Washington, D.C., I don't want to use the term leveled to the ground, because the last time I did that, Secret Service showed up and started harassing people that I was interviewing. But we have a problem here, and it is going to be up to the states. And hello, where do everybody in this country live? You don't live in D.C. You're not living on Guam. You're not living in Puerto Rico. You're living in one of the states of the Union. Well, congratulations. Guess what that mandates? That all of us that live in our respective states, or at least down here in Texas, this republic, it's our job to keep the politics straight. Steve, have you heard of anybody coming forth with any viable stuff to in their respective states to go after this voter fraud stuff and to fix the vote? I haven't either.
No. Now, do you know the easiest thing to do, John? The easiest thing to do, the Democrats love to shame people and to call you a conspiracy theorist and you're a nut bunch of nutcases and there's no such thing as voter fraud. Well, you know, it's pretty easy to if you believe that's true, then they would present a case and they would shame you and you would go away, whimper. And they didn't do that. They couldn't do that because they knew they were guilty of fraud, election fraud and voter fraud. The easiest thing to do, they would have shamed you, humiliated you, but they humiliated you in a different way by stealing this election, but they didn't humiliate you by debunking what you said actually happened. And it did happen. And the lower courts saying, I was very offended when I heard the lower courts saying to Giuliani and to Sidney Powell that you don't have any standing. I'm representing the United States of representing the United States of America. I represent the people, this country, the citizens. I represent the president, and I have no standing. I have no standing, and that's what the Supreme Court went with. Since the lower courts were bought off or blackmailed or whatever happened in the lower courts, the Supreme Court felt that we don't have to step in then because this is a state's issue. A state's court's issue, and if they don't handle it, don't touch it, then it can't be kicked up to the higher court. I don't know how they did it, John. I'm hoping somebody, John Rappaport, or some writers out there, some investigative journalists, will find out how did they lock in this corruption at every corner, every angle, to say, I'm not going to look at it. We got the video. We see the video in Georgia. We've got 500 plus signed affidavits saying that there was voter fraud, election integrity problems, all kinds of stuff. You've got witnesses everywhere. And then you have a judicial that turns their back and says, I don't want to see it. How'd they do that? That's what I want to know.
There's a term. Let me see if I can recall the term. Legalese? Yeah. All right, we got top of the hour break coming up here. Cody, I see you're waiting in the wings here. I'll bring you up at the start of next hour. And Mikey, please tell me you got that video straightened up.
We're going to try something after the break when you want
to. Oh, he's going to try something after the break. Okay, then. Hour two coming up.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.